You're listening to Radio Primavera Sound, proudly presented by Cupra.
Y estamos aquí emitiendo en directo desde los estudios de Radio Primavera Sound para hablaros ahora de un fiestón que va a suceder mañana en Barcelona, 4444 by the Sound Society, o 4444, ¿no? Cuatro cuatros, porque lo llaman así porque son cuatro fechas que han seleccionado. Y para esta, en concreto, la de mañana, va a contar con la presencia del DJ neoyorquino Nicodemus. Hola. Nice to have you, Nick.
Hola, thank you. Nice to meet you.
Do you speak a little bit of Spanish?
Yeah.
¿Sí?
Yeah, no mal.
No mal, ¿no? Bueno, pero we'll do the interview in English.
No bueno, no mal.
No bueno, no mal. What about Italian?
Poco.
Sí.
Sí.
Porque your family heritage is Italian, yes?
Yeah, from Sicily.
Ah, and I understand you're going there afterwards, yeah?
Yes.
For family visit or touring?
Touring in the south, yeah. Like south of Naples, Rome. Yeah, so.
Yeah, but essentially you're a New Yorker.
New Yorker.
Congratulations, you have a very interesting new mayor. Yeah.
Not yet.
Almost.
Oh. No, he's a candidate. He's got to
have. Oh, yeah. I thought, okay, I don't know how to read. You know how they say, oh, yeah.
Nah, I know, it's tricky.
They congratulate and it's like, oh, he just got through what?
Primary.
He's going to be the Democratic candidate in a city that's full of Democrats. Yeah. So he's probably going to be mayor, I think.
I think he's kind of like the top choice right now. And, you know. They put a lot of money behind a lot of candidates and he still took them all out, which was really great. A little power to the people moment that we're having.
He looks awesome.
Yeah.
I've temporarily forgotten his name. But
Damn it. I know. Too many names to memorize. Anyway, sorry. I always envy people who are born and raised and live in New York because you feel like you're the most cosmopolitan people on earth. How do you think it's affected the way you make music and you put out music being a New Yorker?
I mean, it really affected just growing up at the age of like 10 or 11. We had such access to like hip hop, house music, reggae, block parties. Our radio was amazing growing up. We had so many radio stations playing different music. It was like a universe at night. We would just be going around the dial with our tape recorders, you know? So I think that was like personally my first influence. Nowadays, I mean, you just have every artist from all over the world. Like you don't even realize how big a certain community is until they're playing in New York. And then it's like completely packed with people from, you name the place, you know?
Yeah.
Suriname, okay?
Yeah.
and that's something that, like I just always cherish New York for its diversity and its access. It's not, you know, there's so many free shows.
Yeah.
The radio is still pretty good, but not as good as it used to be. But yeah, we have just such diversity. You're literally rubbing elbows with everybody. It's hard to stay in your shell of whatever you're, you know.
Yeah.
What one song makes you think of New York? That one song where you're just like, right, that's it.
Oh, wow. I would say... No, but I'm gonna go throwback time. It would be like the Jimmy Castor Bunch, Just Begun.
Oh, tune for all the breakdancers and stuff. Yeah.
That was like kind of our Uptown Bronx anthem, our breakdance anthem. It transferred to like David Mancuso's Loft to the Paradise Garage to Masters at Work sampling. Like it seems like the one song that just came to mind real quick, but like a good root song for how I feel about New York City, you know?
Yeah. Also, you know, we have to mention that the 4444 by the Sound Society event it channels the spirit of a block party with the philosophy of the Paradise Garage, no? According to the organizers, do they still have block parties in New York, or are they a bit more restricted now?
It's funny, like right after COVID, there was a huge push to get people back out into the streets and to do events. They actually gave out a lot of funding to do more live events.
Yeah.
And it seems like they just, I don't know, they just never really cracked down on us yet. And it's amazing. And we're also entering a beautiful time where people are taking note of sound systems. So a lot of these block parties have this great homemade sound. You know, we got tons of different brands coming up and they're making a name for themselves. So when I saw the Sound Society sound system, I said, oh, okay, now we're talking. I have never seen that here in Barcelona. I know there's a few that exist around, but it really got me excited because playing on a sound system like that, it's a different experience. It's not necessarily loud, it's quality. And that's really important. It's like re-educating people also about how to direct sound and how to keep it warm and not just be like just blasting it everywhere and just being more precise. So I'm happy to see that happening around New York a lot more too.
Did you specially prepare a DJ set taking into account the virtues of this sound system?
Absolutely, yeah.
So what are you looking for when they tell you that you're going to be you're going to be playing with these incredible speakers?
I think like how it changed my sets is that I would strip it down a little more and mm-hmm. like maybe even if it's just something like a Alice Coltrane track with a harp, it's going to sound. I mean, we've never heard probably a song like that, like acoustic on a sound like that or dub. You know, good dub and electronic music that is stripped down and like really moves the air really like solid. Whereas most of my sets forever are just like super heavy with percussion and a lot of layers and, you know, which is nice to throw a few like that. But I think with a sound system like that, it could be tiring for your ears and maybe just like stripping it down just a little bit could be nice, you know?
Well, hang on, let me communicate with, chicos, hay fotos en la carpeta de los altavoces para proyectar mientras estamos hablando del sound system. Perdón, no lo especifique antes. We're live directing the show. I forgot to put the photos. We have them. We have the beautiful photos that Tatiana sent us and we'll be able to see them on the screen as we speak.
Nice. Well, you see, this is what I wanted to ask because you're playing all night, right? You're the only DJ. So are there a load of tunes which you're just like, I'm really looking forward to playing this, you know, because I can put it on at 10 and I don't need to get anyone dancing because it's 10. Maybe there's like two people in there, you know, people coming in. Like, are there any tunes you're just like, yes?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, there's like some of the music from our label I don't get to play out that much. Our label is Wonder Wheel Recordings and we have like a lot of music from all over the world, but like in dub style and like so yeah, there's some of those songs I'd like to introduce with, and you know, just like start to loosen the bones a little bit, like, and then you know, get into the groove slowly. It's kind of like how I like to play anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not really, although it's nice to just be like, okay, you're on the peak hour, go pow, you know, but more fun is to like make the whole ride, you know, just like bring peaks and valleys and then take it home, you know?
Yeah. And that's a great thing about outdoor events in a place where you can do that. I feel like if you're playing in a club and it's closed in and you've got all these lights, you're kind of obliged to keep the tempo always, you know, going fast and pummeling. You can obviously like drop all of a sudden an Alice Coltrane track in the middle. Like, let's bring it. You can play with that. Yeah. But outdoors, you feel like people are vibing more than in the club where, I don't know. That's my perception anyway. We were just speaking earlier about how nice it is for us to, of a certain age, to go to outdoor block parties instead of clubs. You started really young, right? What were you, 12 when you started DJing?
I mean, yeah, probably like, earlier even. I just, you know, was in the bedroom mostly. And then what happens is like when you're like one of the few people in the area with turntables, everyone's like, oh, you know, Nico's got turntables, you know, hey mom, can you drive me to this whatever, I'm not gonna tell you some of the crazy places I played with. But like my mom, what kind of place is this? And don't worry, Ma, it's $50. Okay. But like, you know, you kind of get that little reputation going. And then it turned into like Sweet 16 parties, which we have. And, you know, and that also helped me develop a diverse music sound instead of sticking with just hip hop, reggae, and house. You know, some Sweet 16 parties were asking for new wave music and maybe some more stuff that's on the radio. And then D-Light came out and it was like, everybody liked that. So, you know, like I was like kind of the guy absorbing all the sounds that everybody wanted and then my record collection would grow. So yeah,
this is what I wanted to ask. Like, what do you learn by playing like a load of Sweet 16 parties? You know, because that's like, people often think of like DJing as, you know, you go to a club and you play your 2 hours and you've got your crowd that already knows you. But there's so much of a bigger side of DJing that's like, you know, Sweet 16 or wedding DJing or that kind of thing.
Yeah, those pay better. Yeah, yeah, exactly. those are well paid. And sometimes it's like, okay, I'll take a
everyone
request.
Everyone gets me to DJ for free at their wedding. It's not fair.
Fool!
Well, they're friends. What am I going to do? Anyway, what do you learn from like DJing like Sweet 16? Like what could you learn that you can take on to your, now your, you know, DJ career?
I mean, I learned that most requests are annoying, but no, I learned to like take requests and to open my mind to what people want, you know? So like, I would have had like this kind of block on new wave music back then because it was a certain maybe style in
Waspy
school that, you know, it was like, no, we like techno, you know? So, but then, you know, now I'm looking back at some of them records that I got from back then. I say, damn, this is really good. Like, yeah. I wish I was a little more open back then. And, I think what I also learned was just like how rewarding it was to play music to people and for people to be having fun on a dance floor.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then that's addictive and just kept it going, you know?
Plus, I mean, are we talking like the Sweet 16 parties, like the ones you'd see on that show on MTV where they mostly wanted stuff like Ja Rule or all that kind of commercial hip hop from the 2000s, you know, are we talking that era?
I'm talking 90s.
Okay, you're talking, so 90s, the kids were in the new wave.
Yeah. Yeah, like Jodeci.
Oh, Jodeci, and, okay, yeah.
I mean, you know, remember, I Got the Power.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
I probably played that twice or three times every party. Like, yeah. People wow. wanted the Chill Rob G version, the Snap version. They yeah. wanted, like, I mean, this was a time when, you know, a lot of these songs like Black Box, everybody was breaking yeah. in the radio. Gypsy Woman.
Oh, yeah.
Follow Me. Like, these songs were breaking on the radio.
Yeah.
And this was like our underground secret that we would be taping at night or going on the weekends, you know, secretly into the clubs and listening to. And now, like, people were hearing it on the radio and requesting it at parties. We were like, we were a little conflicted. We were like, oh, wait a minute. That's our secret. That's our secret club. You know, like, how do you know about it? But then it was great because I already had these records, and just to play them, you know, to more people was like finally a victory in a way. It was like, yeah see, I told you.
Hey, talking of 90s house music, your most recent single, Peace Dreams, homage to Plastic Dreams?
Plastic Dreams by wow. JD.
That's a tune. Why did you want to do a homage to that tune?
I just remember one night playing at our party, like back in the early 2000s, I was playing Plastic Dreams, and we always have percussion and live instrumentation at our parties, turntables in the Hudson. That's kind of our signature, is that we have like the whole Get Along gang is there, like rocking. And we had an oud player, and he was playing over Plastic Dreams, and I just like, it froze in my brain. And I was like, we got to do this. And I don't know. It just never happened. He moved. And I mean, there's other oud players, but we just, things go on. But it was always in my head. And when I met these young producers, Apelica, who just played on the Sound Society's block party, it was great. I said to them, hey guys, I got an idea. I never did it. What do you think? And honestly, they never even, it shows you the generation. They didn't even know the song. Mm. So I was like, oh, that's good that they don't know the song. It's like, it could be a good time to like reintroduce it in a way. So, you know, we brought in the darbuka, we brought in the saz and the oud, and just kind of like, I mean, it's called a remake. It's not a remix. We didn't use any of the parts from the original song. It's a remake, which you know, use elements, it's or an interpolation, they call it.
Yeah.
So no, I really like it. I was kind of listening to things of yours at random, and then like it kind of came in. I was like, that sounds a bit like Plastic Dreams. Yeah. No. I'm just imagining it. And then like later on, it kind of goes like kind of quite full Plastic Dreams. Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
It's a risky one to do, I admit. So I was like,
oh no, totally, it totally works. Okay,
thanks. If you don't like it, don't tell me.
And tell you know, a lot of your biography talks about how you're constantly traveling. Is this true? Like, how do you make it work? Like, do you first of all, like, sort of put out notes to people? It's like, look, I want to do this route. I'm available for DJ bookings, and so and as you get booked, that's how you plan your travel itinerary, or do you just go to places and improvise?
It's a lot of improvising, but I have an agent in France who's really good at putting together those dates in areas which, because I don't, half the times, like, he really picks interesting places that I don't know where they are at first, but he knows the route, so he's been helpful with that. And in Italy, I have an agent there. But yeah, usually it's like, it's become a pattern where I know I'm around, you know, this country for these weeks, and then this, you know, Italy's always in August and Greece in August, you know, that's always kind of a time for that.
Yeah.
But then, you know, there's so many life curveballs that are thrown your way that, you know, you got to just be very flexible and be able to just move around as needed, you know, so.
But do you travel with vinyl?
Last summer I did, because there was two requests for that. And I wish I actually did this for the Sound Society. Because there's nothing like playing vinyl on a sound system like that. Yeah. You actually play totally different. It's so much more fun.
Yeah.
You know? I kind of need that. I need to play vinyl at least like once every 10 gigs or something, because it's just so much, and it's a different sound. It's like stuff that I don't have on digital.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But it was always, you'd hear the horror stories, especially, you know, we have Ibiza right next door. And obviously... the airport baggage handlers, there was this myth about how they were constantly stealing record bags from Carl Cox, from Plastic Man, from everyone, because they were all going to Ibiza when they were all playing vinyl. And the kids, you know, usually the baggage handlers were like post-teenagers who liked their techno and stuff. And they were like, well, there was a black market for these records. It's like, yeah, I've got Laurent Garnier's bag, you know, and these poor DJs would get to their destinations and not have records to play, or they'd have to go through
crazy, yeah,
all kinds of nuisance to get enough records to, all of a sudden that changed with the USB or the CDs.
It's happened to me before, the records went missing, and then they looked at like cumbia, like Afro, they gave it back.
Yeah, it's like, it's okay.
We don't know what this shit is.
So when you're traveling, do you like try to collaborate with people in local, you know, like if you go to play, like in Barcelona, for example, are you going to collaborate with anyone here?
Yeah, I mean, I work with Pablo Sanchez sometimes, great electronic producer, and when you have time, we always listen to music, we always come up with ideas,
yeah,
and often, you know, something comes up everywhere, you know, if you have more than a day.
I'm thinking, well, La Noche, which opens Soul and Science, your 2023 album, with Antonio Lizana, which is like a sort of disco flamenco house kind of tune,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, so I met him when I was playing in Madrid at Cafe Berlin.
Mm, yeah.
And I was obsessed with, you know, his style, his jazz flamenco mix. I was like, oh God, I gotta work with this guy. And I kind of like, if something happens naturally, that's usually how it happens. He seemed like so easy to speak with and discuss, and he wasn't like a purist in flamenco. So yeah. I knew, okay, this is gonna happen. And yeah, then the next time I came back, he listened, he loved it, and just brought in his roots and culture, you know? But yeah, so that happened while traveling. And,
yeah.
And that's why I love like the label. And when I'm traveling and going to festivals, I'm constantly like picking and finding out and discovering new artists, you know?
Yeah. And as a crate digger, is what else have you liked of Spanish historical music scenes that you find interesting? Apart from, you know, flamenco fusion and stuff.
Yeah, like Rumba Catalan. I love I love this group. I was obsessed as a kid. Las Grecas. Oh,
yeah,
man.
Psych flamenco.
I was obsessed with this group. I was like, I'm moving to Spain.
Yeah.
You know? I was like, Peret, I liked his vibe. I don't know. I think all of it, I think it started with getting that album Sketches of Spain from Miles Davis, Bill Evans. Because I was like, I was traveling before I even knew what a passport was. And I would just put that record on and I was like, you know, I could see the whole procession of them walking into like this castle and like doing this incredible songs. And even it was like one of the first songs I ever sampled in like 96 or something.
Has it become easier to sample now or is it a bit more difficult, especially with AI detecting and stuff?
No, it's actually easier because back in the day, we were scared to sample and we didn't know how to clear it. Mm. And we wanted to clear it. We would have loved to, but you have a lot of roadblocks like major labels, labels that are split with many publishing companies. Like there's so many obstacles.
Yeah.
So we had to go deep and underground. And then in that case, we couldn't find them.
Mm.
And then hopefully you don't get caught. Like it was just like a horrible game. It's so much nicer now. You could just be like, hey, we did this. And I think most people are open to it. And they're like, oh, if this makes money, we all make money. Yeah. Great. And you know, even if you have to give up more of the share, I think most people are just excited to get their art out and their vision.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as daunting and scary as it used to be, I think, you know.
Yeah.
Talking of AI, I was reading an interview you did in 2023, I think it was, and you said back then you were quite scared about the impact of AI in music. 2 years, I mean, I was quite surprised because like 2023, I don't know if all that many people were talking about it. How do you feel about it now? Are you still scared? Has it got worse or are you sort of more...
Yeah, I mean, it's starting to find its way in, you know, streaming platforms. And I mean, it's like in the end of the day, personally, I'm like, if I heard it, it's like it's music, okay? They could be making a lot worse shit, like bombs and shit, you know? Mm. But part of my whole last album, Soul and Science, was just, I'm just scared that it replaces human connection, collaboration, people getting together and doing fun music, like sharing culture. Once you just start going down the AI route, it could get like a little bit lonely and independent and me, nah, man. Like that's so I wanted with my last album just to collab with as many people I can, you know, me, you know, at the helm, of course, but just as a reminder, to be human. I think it's gotten worse in a lot of other ways too, and especially for film, and a lot of people's are suffering from like the takeover of a lot of jobs. I think.
Some of the crap that's being churned out.
Have you heard a lot of crap?
I'm thinking more. To be honest, I'm thinking more of journalism.
Oh, okay.
You know, like. Yeah. I can't really say too much. But let's just say a place I used to do something for replaced it with AI.
Oh, see?
And you kind of look at what AI is doing and you're like, that's not good. It exists, it works, but it's like, it's just boring anyway.
Yeah.
But is it like, you know how like sometimes a newspaper has to cover little articles like, oh, they opened a new... I don't know, something that's just not interesting for the people, but they have to mention it for whatever. Like, oh, they've opened a new complex to store trucks in the, you know, and it's news because it's Barcelona and it affects. And, you know, if you have to spend time, even if it's 15 minutes of your time when you could be covering
but
a real story.
Why not make it interesting? You know what I mean? True. Like, that's why? True. Like, does it have to be boring?
It's like that Afterlife show on Netflix, the Ricky Gervais, where he works for like a local newspaper, the news is like, oh yeah, someone's cat got trapped in a tree. That's you can be creative. Yeah,
I don't know if we can ask you this, but I'm going to ask you because it's something I love to ask DJs.
Hmm.
If you notice that the energy is flagging a bit in the night, and you need to get it right back on. What is the song you put on?
Oh, shit. Well, it depends. What kind of party? Like, there's a lot of factors. Like, some of my safe one, if I'm playing in, like, let's say Latin America, South America, I throw on me Swingers Tropical because I know they're waiting for it. And it's like, it's a song that is just kind of like immediate with the Montuno, the kind of down tempo organic reggaeton beat.
Yeah.
It just catches people. So like that's one. I mean, if I'm up in a house club, I don't know. That's a tough question. There's like it could be so many. Yeah. You know? I don't know.
Okay. It's kind of an unfair question.
Yeah, because like you don't know if they're looking for like something that they know, or they want some shit that's harder, or you know, you can really have to judge and see what's up.
Yeah.
Usually I walk around the dance floor and I take a poll.
and one final question, you know, being in the heart of the New York street vibes and everything, what's the next thing? Because reggaeton's been like huge for a while now. And I think that's the last great sort of musical genre to like burst and become universal. And, you know, Bad Bunny filling out 4 stadiums in less than hours in ticket sales. So it's been a while now. So I'm thinking, you know, it's always something that comes from the street. What's the next genre? What's the next crossover thing that you can sort of whiff? Like, oh, this is going somewhere.
I don't know. I guess all the offshoots of Afrobeat that's mm-hmm. happening everywhere. There's so much. It's kind of crazy. And you learn more when you travel. And I can't really tell the difference, honestly, like between a lot of these new genres, because they're happening so fast.
Yeah,
it's like almost like when Jamaican reggae, dancehall reggae was hot in the 90s. Like we were so into it that we knew every week there was a new rhythm, and you know we had like the Egyptian, and then we had this rhythm and that rhythm. So we were so like on it. I'm just not on that pulse like people are today. Like some of the DJs who are playing like these like Afrobeat and all the new stuff. I mean, in Nigeria, it's probably every week is a new subculture rhythm coming out that people are sharing on their phones. And then one just explodes on the radio or goes viral.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's just important in every single like scene and culture to just go a little deeper and not just see what's on the surface. Cause like I swear, everywhere I go, I'm like, "What the hell is this? What is this?" And they're like, "Oh, this is this new stuff out of Venezuela," and I'm like, "What?" Like you know, and it just maybe doesn't have an outlet yet. But I think the cool thing is that everyone is just bouncing ideas off of each other. I think a lot of artists are pulling from the roots and culture. Like in my example of Venezuela, it's amazing. Mm. They're grabbing this great Afro Venezuelan historic music that I didn't even know about and making it electronic, almost like a Mala and Cuba vibe.
Mm.
But like, you know, dubsteppy with like, I don't know, but I don't know the names, but I think it's just important to keep looking a little deeper, you know, like kind of not just what's on the surface, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know, just many, many, many genres out there coming up.
A question about New York, if I may. Where's good to go out in New York? I mean, is it really good for clubs at the moment? Because I like, you know, for me, I was like, 90s New York, the tunnel. I mean, I never went, but like, you know.
I just know. Sort of, like, you'd read about it.
Watching from far away, reading about it, but like, oh my God, that sounds so good. You know, like Junior Vasquez and all that kind of thing. Is it good now in New York?
It's incredible. It's unbelievable. It's overwhelming.
Mm.
And I get FOMO every day. I'm like, oh, I want to go to this. I want to go to that. You got a lot of the classics. You got a lot of the usual suspects doing great. Mm. There's a lot of rooms with nice sound that's smaller, which is great, you know. We have, like, I can name venues or, you know, there's also a lot of outdoor spots popping up, parks, parties in the parks.
Parties, yeah.
Summer Stage, Prospect Park, everyone's doing great stuff. And I think the curation is just incredible, what's going on in New York. It's like, I mean, anytime I'm thinking about throwing a party, I'm like, oh, there's 20 parties the same day. I'm like, maybe I'll do it Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Yeah, that'll work. Yeah. And then there's like, no, there's a festival. Like, oh, man. Like,
But the good thing is there's people for everything, right? Not everyone fits in every one part.
There's,
you know,
people for everything. I just saw it this morning. I was like, that guy Mohawk, the guy from Brazil.
Yeah.
It was like 10,000 people on a pier in like where there's nothing else in New York, like down in like Bay Ridge. Like, yeah. I said, what? Where all these people come from? But and also that night, there was maybe 20 other amazing parties. There's something for everybody. And New York's on fire in the summer. It's insane. And it slows down a little.
And literally, no, it's so hot.
It's like 40 degrees, you know, it's like 100.
And with Zoran Mamdani, I finally looked at his Zoran. Name. It's going to be even better. So Trump called him a communist, which is like, well,
Trump's calling us communists. He's like, he's trying to start a war with Spain now. Yeah. Well, next, he's like,
there's going
to be consequences. Something bad could happen to Spain, you know? And it's like, what? Are you going to drop one of those motherfucking 14-ton bombs on us because we didn't chip in?
I mean, here's hoping not, shall we?
Jesus Christ. They
can find an excuse for anything, these people.
Anyway, let's not go down there. So, friendly reminder, tomorrow, mañana.
Lanao.
In Lanao, 4 hours of Nicodemus. No warm-up DJ, no post-DJ, just 4 hours of Nicodemus kicking it, taking us on a wonderful journey. In Lanao, what time? ¿A qué hora empieza?
A las 10 abrimos puertas,
a las 10 de la noche.
From 10 to 3.
From 10 to 3. Vale, nice horario. For some reason, I thought it was going to be daytime. Sorry. Tati sent me all this stuff a week ago, and now I'm still... preguntas de examen.
Four-hour set. 400 people. The other fours. Four parties.
Yeah.
And four by four beat.
And we'll also take the chance to remind you of the next party. It's going to be on the 12th of July with Amalia from London, who's on Born Fruits and has played at Fabric, at Mantel, Corsica Studios, etc. Also very rhythmic and with great flow. There's a special guest to be announced for the 19th of September. Vale. And the 22nd of November, A Love from Outer Space, the party's popularized by Andy Weatherall, is going to feature Sean Johnston. A Love from Outer Space is characterized by slow beats. They never go above 120. What's the fastest you go?
That's nice. It used to be like maybe 125, but... Would you characterize drum and bass as fast or slow?
Fast, yeah. 173.
Oh, I've been breaking out my old drum and bass records. On a good sound, it kind of like lights up the place. It's crazy. So we might test out a few of them jams, some old Ronnie Size, Pesce, you know, the jazzy kind of bangers, halftime, double times.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the people in United Kingdom, they adapted it very early. They understood it. But in Spain, I always thought this music is the music, sounds like the music of the future. And it took, drum and bass never took off in Spain like other genres did.
It sort of has a bit now, so don't be put off.
No. What I mean is that now, finally, a lot of young kids are putting drum and bass in or drum and bass samples in their music. And it's like, It took Spain 30 years to sort of grapple. Now, that's unfair because there has been drum and bass enthusiasts in Spain, but it was still a very niche, very underground. You know, nearly every other electronic genre has had its presence in Spanish spaces. But drum and bass is always the, you know, they'd always get the smallest room in one of those multi-clubs or whatever, multi-space clubs. And now I think 30 years after, well, 40 years after, no, 30, 30 years after, I think it's fine. No, drum and bass is 1992.
92.
Yeah, you're the authority.
Well, yeah.
No?
I'm old, yeah.
We're the same
that's
age.
What you're saying, yeah.
But it's like finally now people are getting it. Yeah, anyway, whatever. Thank you, Nicodemus.
Tomorrow night, Lanao.
In Lanao. Yeah?
Thank you, guys. Thanks for the interview. It was really great.
It's our pleasure.
Our pleasure.
It's nice to be here.
Y a continuación vamos a seguir vamos a repasar las novedades musicales de la semana con Sergi Cuixart.
You're listening to Radio Primavera Sound, proudly presented by Cupra.